There's a kind of a hush all over the world tonight. All over the world, you can hear the sounds of lovers in love. You know what I mean? Just the two of us, and nobody else in sight. There's nobody else, and I'm feeling good, holding you tight. So listen very carefully, closer now, and you will see what I mean. It isn't a dream. The only sound that you will hear when I whisper in your ear, I love you. Forever and ever. Cause there's a kind of a hush, ha ha ha, all over the world tonight. All over the world, you can hear the sounds of lovers in love.
Come on, everybody sing.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Once more, together.
La 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 la.
No doo-doos.
La 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 la. What I mean, it isn't a dream. The only sound that you will hear when I whisper in your ear, I love you forever and ever. Cause there's a kind of a hush all over the world tonight. All over the world, you can hear the sound. Lovers in love, of lovers in love, of lovers in love.
Very nicely done. Thank you, dear. Thank you.
Especially the la la la.
Let's see, 1967. This is the year the Israelis showed the world how to run a war.
Oh, boy.
In 6 days, it was all finished.
Well, you know why. The equipment was rented.
Oh, Richard.
Well, whatever it was over and done with, and that was it. You'd think some other people would take a hint, wouldn't you, huh? It was sort of a preview of what the Holocaust would be if it were ever to come up with a world war again. Instead of 6 days, it would be about 6 hours, and that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the year, 1967, when Twiggy came over here with that starved, skinny look. But yesterday, when Frank Kingston Smith was here, I forgot one thing. To me, the most memorable thing of 1968 was the miniskirt. That's the year that came around.
Mm.
May it never, never leave us.
Mm.
67 was the year the boys began to let their hair grow, too. And I'm happy to read in the paper that that's on the way out, thank heaven.
As long as it's kept clean, I think it's...
Clean and neat.
Yeah.
I don't care how long it is, so
right.
They trim it neatly, but mostly it hangs down in their face and they're ever trying to throw it out. It's always in their soup. Oh, awful. Let's see, 1967. Gee, I'm trying to think. 1967, no, that was a... Can you remember anything specific about 67, Richard?
You know, dates to me are so vague. Let me see, 1960, that's the year Babe Ruth hit his 800th home run.
No.
Oh, that's not it, no. Lindbergh made it around...
That was it.
Guess I must have the wrong year.
This is the year where we finally got through to the folk in America that the air was polluted. We had been trying to talk about it for some time and were told to shut up, but it finally got through. The people in California had known it for a long, long time, but the rest of the country didn't get it through their heads until 5 years ago.
Well, now, you know, going back serves an important purpose. You can see the great strides that you've taken.
How slowly we've moved, yeah, as far as pollution is concerned?
Not when you go back. You know, it looks like it.
We have made absolutely no progress in the air pollution. None whatsoever. The air pollution is even worse in Los Angeles today than it was in 1967, despite the fact that out there you really have to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's worse now than ever. I got a wonderful note from Pete and Sue. Do you remember Pete Secondino, Sue Secondino?
Mm-hmm.
You remember way back there in the early 50s, I was in Chicago doing our show from there once at the stockyards at an auction, and I bought a steer from a gal who was, you know, 4-H Club steer contests, judging contests, beef contests, and they were voting for her, and she had a husband who was a veteran in Korea at the time. And she had brought this bull calf all the way from babyhood on up and finally got to be where she was challenging the best in the country, and she won. Now they're auctioning it off, and they were fooling around with 26 cents, 26 and a quarter, 26 and a half, and I got impatient and said, if you're going to help the girl, let's help her. So I bid 40 cents, I think it was, or something, and the guy says, sold, and I had a bull, I mean a steer. And comes a nice note from Pete and Sue, who have never forgotten. You and the gang are going to be missed very much out South Shirkyville, Indiana way. That's where she lives, South Shirkyville, Indiana. Since it's been request time lately, hope you can squeeze this one in for me. It's a big favorite of Pete's and mine, one Nat King Cole did around 1962, Ramblin' Rose. That's one of your songs.
Mm, yeah.
Dick will do that for you. She says, I could ramble on and get all teary-eyed and snot-nosed, but we'll just let the song say it for us. I figure, what the heck, you know what I mean? Love a bushel of sunflower seeds. P.S., you really are one super salesman, but you got to admit that a gal who sold the king of the tea bags a bum steer for $30 a pound was really spreading the bull. He's a funny kid. They're a wonderful couple. They took that money and they bought a farm adjacent to their parents, and now they got a big one to manage, and they are among the very successful young farmers of America.
Good.
I'm very proud of them. Remind me to tell you a story she sent me the other day. I can't remember it right now. I'll tell you after the show. It'll come to me.
Okay.
Meantime, I want to ask Kelly if she will come and sing something for us.
I'd love to.
Kelly Garrett. Mm-hmm. Who appears next in Ottawa in person, if my information is correct.
Yes, right.
At the place, do you remember the name?
You know that I don't. Isn't that a shame?
It's all right. Somebody will take you there. You folks in Ottawa who don't listen to us anyhow, you'll enjoy her.
Oh, remember the funnies we made about Suriname, Paramaribo, and Dutch Guiana? You won't believe it.
You ran into people?
Your show came up. In this small little place, people who had gone there, they were sitting in the lobby, hadn't seen me, but heard me singing. And they said, you're the little girl off of the Arthur Godfrey show.
Oh, that's nice.
It was really quite something.
That's nice.
You're just too good to be true. Take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Pardon the way that I stare. There's nothing else to compare. The sight of you leaves me weak. There are no words left to speak. But if you feel like I feel, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Yeah. just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I want to hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived. And I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you.
Hey, you know, that's a lot of voice comes out of that little gal, huh?
Yeah.
Gee, I'd hate for her to have to holler if she needed something.
I did that at home enough. My mother was glad when I finally left, I think. The loud mouth. They used to call me Martha Ray. Teeth. My father had a nickname for me because I was born in March. He used to call me Windy. Or he'd say, the one who can keep quiet the longest at the table, I'll give a nickel. And I'd say, I've been quiet the longest. I mean, lost everything.
Me.
Oh, Kelly.
Got a cute one from Lena Dorgan, Mrs. H.H. Dorgan, Ellsworth, Maine. She says, we're sorry the Godfrey family is leaving. We've enjoyed you all for a long time. I have my recorder taken down some of the songs of the past. Would it be possible to go back to Ada Jones and Billy Murray, the duet? Some of the lines are, I'm going to B-U-Y, you'll see a nice little H-O-U-S-E. We'll have a B-A-B-Y boy and a girl, too. When I'm M-A-R-R-I-E-D to Y-O-U. I'll bet that was a zinger.
Z-I-N-G-E-R.
Yeah.
Been around 19-8 to 10, she said. No, Lena, darling, I don't have that one. That's one of the few that got by me. No, I somehow missed that one.
Was that the title that you just read off? That was not the title of the song, was it?
No, those were the words, some of the lines. She says, I wonder who remembers the little jingles on the cans of Campbell's soup about 1908. Oh, gracious me, what can that be? A shadow so round and fat. Campbell's soup, I know, makes youngsters grow, but do I look like that? Wish they would repeat that style for a while. Well, they do. They have some of those cute things around yet. Lena Dorgan, she's 70. Hey, that's not so old. Let's see, you were 70. You must have been born in 1902. You're not so old. But I don't remember any such thing as B-U-Y, a nice little H-O-U-S-E.
Yeah, what I remember was, if you'll be M-I-N-E, mine, I'll be T-H-I-N-E, thine, L-L-O-V-E, love you, all the T-I-M-E, time. You are the B-E-S-T, best of all the R-E-S-T, rest, and L-L-O-V-E, love you, all the T-I-M-E, time.
That
I
remember.
Some longer words.
What year was that, I wonder?
1904.
Oh.
You remember that well,
don't you?
Gosh,
certainly do.
You remember the story we had about the eagle that was shot down and left for dead in Obion County in Tennessee? And somebody picked it up and took it to the veterinarian, and the vet went to work on it. John DeLime, the refuge manager, is the man who found it. He thought the eagle was dying, but he took it to a Union City veterinarian, and Dr. Davis there treated her with glucose, penicillin, and other drugs, immobilized and set a severely broken wing, and she recovered. She was returned to the refuge office to recuperate and got the name Henrietta. She's going to have to remain in a cast for about 4 or 5 more weeks. Her wing was so badly damaged, it's doubtful she'll ever be able to fly properly again. No leads as to who shot Henrietta have been discovered. There's a reward of $500 being offered by the National Wildlife Federation for information leading to the conviction of any person who has shot an eagle. And Henrietta is going to be on loan to the Knoxville Zoo from the Department of the Interior. She'll probably spend the rest of her life there. she's going to replace a female eagle. Get this. Was shot and killed in her cage.
Oh, you're joking.
By a vandal. Oh, yes, yes. Every once in a while you hear of some sick souls doing things like that. Feeding glass to animals through the cage and the peanuts. And I don't know what it is. What is it?
And they're all walking around, you know. All these people are just walking around the streets.
You never know which is whom. Mrs. E.R. Walsh of Memphis sends me this, and thank you, Ms. Walsh. I'm so glad to hear about Henrietta. Yeah, that's one of the cases where it's nice to keep the bird alive because there will be some people who will be able to see her. Ordinarily, of course, nature doesn't do that. When a bird is or an animal, a mammal, or an insect, or a reptile is hurt, or deformed, or crippled in any way, nature allows it to die. But we step in with our anthropocentric ideas and occasionally do a piece of good, as in this instance. To save that eagle and keep it in the place of one in the zoo is a good idea. Sometimes, as horrible as zoos can be, sometimes it's better to have them there than out loose where people could shoot them.
Mm.
Why? Why would anybody do that?
You know what? I don't understand about horses now. I could understand if it was a racehorse and he broke his leg, then he would have to be destroyed. But if you had just an old horse around the farm, do you have to destroy horses when they break their legs?
Well,
can't you reset them? They won't run as fast, but...
I have a horse that I use in dressage. One of my horses who appears with me in my Goldie act is broke a bone in his foot one time, and I thought I had lost him, but we were able to treat him in such manner and keep him alive. You see, horses depend on exercise. They will die if they do not have exercise. If the bone is so badly broken, or if the break is so bad that the horse can't move, then you might as well dispose of him because it's impossible to do anything for him.
You really can't put it in the cast then, huh?
Well, they have done it, and sometimes they have gotten some results and sometimes not. It depends on whether or not the part that's broken is something that will heal. And the veterinarians can tell that. This horse, playing around in the field, came up lame one day, and we examined him and found that he, in the x-ray, that he had broken a little bone in his foot. A little bitty one. And for 6 months now, we had to keep him off of it in a barn, in a stall. But we managed with the use of a lot of bran and lots of hay and nothing else to eat and moving him around in the stall and seeing that everything was, he had plenty to drink and so forth. By golly, he got well.
Mm.
He moved around enough so that after 6 months we could turn him out. And after another 6 months, then I saw that all the lameness was gone and now you can ride him and there's no sign of it. But that doesn't happen too often.
Mm. I always thought it was such a waste.
Yes, it's terrible, but if it's a bad break up in a part that won't heal or where you just never could support that tremendous weight again, then that's, I suppose, it's the best thing to do. But gee, wouldn't I be, supposing they did that with people, huh? Me with 27 fractures in the pelvis, plus both knees, plus all the ribs, plus both collarbones.
Oh, you'd have been gone a long time
plus
ago.
Plus a skull.
Oh, my gosh.
They'd have put me away a long time ago, wouldn't they, huh? I'm on borrowed time here. I think it would be nice if on my borrowed time we played a little music, boys. We haven't for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. Let's get out something. Let's see. This is about the year that we're talking about, 1967, that Red Skelton wrote a march, which he named after my horse. Simply Godfrey's Horse.
Hmm.
This is the name of the march. Let's play it, boys. Thank you.
cute.
Did Red write that one just for you?
Yeah.
Yesterday, April the 7th, would have been the 75th birthday of the late Walter Winchell. And a memorial service was held for him at the Lambs, the theatrical club, on 44th Street, 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon. It was arranged by the Walter Winchell Memorial Committee. Remember, Walter died of cancer in Los Angeles on February the 20th, and we didn't even hear about it until after the funeral. April 7th was selected as the day to conduct this memorial service because, as I say, it would have been his 75th birthday. The Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, Rabbi Art T. Book, chaplain of the News Reporters Association of New York, syndicated journalist Bob Considine, and Ernest Cuneo, attorney and longtime associate of Mr. Winchell, delivered eulogies, and members of the fine organization of the police and fire departments participated to honor his fundraising efforts in helping families of men killed in the line of duty. The passing of Walter Winchell didn't make as much splash as I had hoped it would, that people would recall some of the great things he did in his lifetime. One of the things he did was to immortalize the G-Men. He idolized J. Edgar Hoover, you know, and everything the FBI stands for. As a matter of fact, kind of like me, he was cop crazy. He always was... His way of spending a very interesting evening was to use the police radio they gave him, and he'd listen for the police calls, and then he'd go chase them and go join them and whatever they were up to and go to all the fires and report them and do what he could to help at the time. And whenever he could, he was always raising money to help injured or deceased public servants, especially firemen and police. But more than that, he gave us a great many words in our language. He created a style all his own. He was a very theatrical man, you know, and always was up to his elbows and trying to help other people. A very moody man. There were times when even those of us who were close to him couldn't quite understand him. But, you know, when somebody has done something for you, as much as Walter Winchell has done for so many of us in show business, me, for instance, you don't ask a fellow like that, what have you done for me lately? He took me out of the bowels of obscurity in 1934 and gave me some national publicity, which gave me the first recognition I ever had in show business that amounted to anything outside of Washington, D.C. And I've never forgotten it. Every birthday since then, I have greeted him on this program. This will be the last. He didn't live to hear this one. And I know you all join me in wishing for him the peace and happiness which during his lifetime he found so elusive.
Follow the Masters Golf Tournament with special coverage over many of these stations on the CBS Radio Network.
This is Radio 930 WBEN in Buffalo, New York, a minute and a half away from 7 o'clock and news time. Prizes, refreshments, and guided tours this Sunday at the European Health Spa in Orchard Park. Stop in this Sunday and see the new $1 million European Health Spa, facilities for ladies and men.